Pure Dog Talk is the podcast on purebred dogs. We talk to the legends in the sport and give you tips and tools to create an awesome life with your purebred dog. From showing to preservation breeding, from competitive obedience to field work, from agility to therapy dogs, and all the fun in between, your passion is our purpose. Pure Dog Talk is sponsored by ChampionshipBreeders.com. Championship Breeders is a proud supporter of the American Kennel Club, our specialty and all breed clubs, our dog sports, and the gifts of therapy and service from our canine companions. Welcome to Pure Dog Talk. Today, we are talking to Katie Campbell. She is a member of Seattle Kennel Club and a member of the board of directors and a breeder runner handler of Basenjis. And she's going to talk to us today about media and how your dog club can use your local media and involve members of the community, involve people, and get them to see the sport. So welcome, Katie. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure, Laura. It's always great to talk with you.
So talk to us a little bit about what Seattle Kennel Club's doing. You've got a big show in a big metropolitan area. How do you get people in the door?
Well, it's a challenge, right? And every dog club has their own challenge when they put on shows. And for us, it is that here we are in Seattle, a growing metropolitan, cosmopolitan city that draws people from all over the world for not only aerospace, but also for the tech industry. So it's becoming more and more of an edgier, cosmopolitan city all the time. And with that, we have to really think about what's trending and how our mission with preserving purebred dogs and having them as members of our community with people that live in our community, you know, good folks, good dog folks, and how we're going to have them choosing purebred dogs as their companions in their home. So it's all about making our sport relevant to this audience that we have here in Seattle and to build upon that to foster these relationships. So we're looking for ways to do that, and I'm happy to share with you what's been working for Seattle Kennel Club.
And that's amazing. I think that's what all of us are hoping to do with our dog shows, right? We want to make people understand why purebred dogs are the best.
Right. So. Well, it is. And it's a challenge, right? Because the breed of the day is the rescue.
Yes.
It's the rescue breed. PETA and their HSUS and their associates have made it truly fashionable to have a rescue dog. And yet, you know, here we are, we're the responsible breeders, not the irresponsible ones. And we've lost our identity to the general public. And the identity that we've allowed to have happen has been slapped on us by the labels of the PETA organizations, the PETA-friendly groups. And we've allowed them to label us. So when we know in our hearts we're really doing the right thing, I mean, we're the ones doing the testing. We're the ones supporting the American Kennel Club, the Canine Health Foundation, and AKC Pet Disaster Relief Trailers. I mean, these various things that we do that are really fostering the relationships between people, human beings, and their dog. I mean, it's one of the most simple pleasures, right? A human being being able to own a dog that they keep in their home with this unconditional love. I mean, what's more fundamentally important and worth preserving than that?
Yeah, that's amazing. And I love that. So tell me exactly, or with some great ideas for other clubs to follow, what's Seattle Kennel Club been up to? What are you guys working on this year?
Okay, what we've been doing in the last several years, due to the territory policies, we have to stay within the confines of Seattle proper. That's our territory. And there's not very many venues for us to be at. Not too many of them that are dog friendly to the extent that they'll allow us to put on a dog show with, you know, the traffic that's going in and out of it and the various things that we all require for the safety and general experience of our exhibitors and our dogs there. So it's very, very expensive. We've been at the CenturyLink Event Center for many years now, and it doesn't get any cheaper to be there. Union wages and various other types of things put extraordinary costs upon us that keep driving the price of the show up. And without gate, we could never make it. There's just no possible way that we can charge to our exhibitors what it costs us to be there. So we have had to foster or supplement, you know, bridge that gap for us by making the dog show relevant, worthwhile, and entertaining for the public to come and attend and be willing to pay money to come in the door. So the types of things that many of you who have had the opportunity to come to our shows have been able to see, we're really proud to have Meet the Breeds, which I'm sure you're familiar with that format. We have that in a booth-by-booth organization type that, you know, when you will have the Evergreen Basenji Club set up their booth and, you know, have all of those things. Your listeners know what I'm talking about with that. So, and those are really super great to be able to promote to the public, because that's an opportunity for them to sort of go through a shopping mall of not being able to purchase any dogs, of course, but to have the education to be able to see them up front and ask all the tough questions.
Right. And I think people, we love the Meet the Breeds because people have the opportunity to interact with breeders, to interact with the dogs that they don't always get at a regular dog show. And it has sort of come to replace the benched show feel.
Exactly.
Where the public was able to do that more readily.
Right. And I can't speak for every club, but a lot of times the people who come and staff those are the people who own the companion dogs that are members of our clubs, not the exhibitors. And when they come, really the public plugs in with those folks the best, because we have to remember as dog club members, even though we're really passionate about showing and we're always looking for show homes for our terrific puppies, you know, the fact of the matter is that we're trying to reach out and connect with these people to have them appreciate the hard work that we all do as breeders of doing the right thing to preserve these breeds. And the breed booths give the opportunity for them to get a taste of that, the history that comes with it. I mean, owning a purebred dog is the opportunity to own a piece of cultural history. And that's really special. We know how special that is. And people don't know what that is until you have the opportunity to have that venue. So I think that that's an important way that we can share that with the Meet the Breeds there. And most people are just looking for a companion. The first step is to turn people on to getting a purebred dog and enjoy the beauty and the responsibility and support that they get from a responsible, good breeder. That's the first step. Maybe that dog turns into a show dog and maybe you'll get the opportunity to show it. But what's really more important is that we win those people over by having that purebred dog in their home.
And appreciating the value of a dog that comes from a responsible preservation breeder.
Absolutely. So I think sometimes as people who steer a dog show, we lose sight that that's a fundamental crux of what's important, of putting on a dog show. We've all seen our numbers going down and, you know, maybe getting flat. I think things are getting a little better as we've come out of the recession across the country. But if we just keep doing what we've been doing, we will continue to die as clubs and putting on dog shows and doing all that. I mean, the fact is, if clubs simply look at, by publicizing their dog show, it's the best that they can do is say, hey, we're going to annualize our weekend. Everyone knows we have our shows this particular weekend, and then count on the superintendent to send out the premium list, and that's it. That's all that you do. I guarantee everybody's number is going to keep going down. You have to do something else, and you have to inspire the next generation of dog show people to want to come along. And that's found in the public, in your own communities. Have to find a way to connect with those people to make our dog shows and our sport and the American Kennel Club relevant to them. That's your challenge as the show committee.
And that is amazing. And I think it's so accurate. And I think Seattle Kennel Club has historically done a really great job with that. So with the Meet the Breeds booth, then they also have pretty packed agility competition that I can remember watching.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, right. The agility, it's been very popular over the years, and it's particularly exciting for people to watch as a sport. And it brings people in, people like to see it, and it causes excitement. And that's what's entertaining about a dog show, is that excitement. And there's a lot of great positive vibe that goes on at the agility ring. The agility folks are, they've got a great culture within themselves. I mean, it's supportive, it's very upbeat, which is great. Some confirmation people could take notes that, you know.
I totally agree with you.
That's kind of a whole nother conversation, but if we can't keep good sportsmanship front and forward in our dog shows, that's going to hurt too. People see it. People see it with their families, and they just don't want to be part of snarkiness, right? So we need to be able to make good sportsmanship the norm again and make sure that poor sportsmanship is not rewarded.
Absolutely dead on. It's a valid point, Katie, and I think that unfortunately we miss that, and I do think it speaks a lot to the draw of agility and some of the other sort of performance aspects of purebred dogs, because that's where people find fun, so that's where they're going to go.
Right, and it's got to be fun. I mean, there's a lot of us, myself included. I mean, I'll keep doing this as long as it's fun. I want it to be fun, right? And we want other people to have fun. So we need to create a fun environment. And part of that at a dog show, for us, the Seattle Kennel Club, we need to have them not only come in the door, but be willing to pay to come into the door. We need to really have this great venue of so many things to see that we love it to be almost overwhelming, that it's just that exciting. So yes, agility is another feature that we've had. We've also had, in addition to the breed booths upstairs, we've had that classic Meet the Breeds also that American Kennel Club has been introducing us to, where just a few breeds are selected and we have them sort of in a mock ring where people can walk in and there's many of them on the table and people talk about the breed a little more casually, but you've got multiple representatives live and in person for people to connect with. And we like to do those for breeds that are new and or are often misinterpreted by the public, and so that they have the opportunity to show themselves that way. That's been popular. We also have a demonstration ring where we bring in all kinds of types of activities that are indeed very entertaining and prove the worthiness of, you know, what dogs can do to serve the public as well as being companions. So we've had bomb-sniffing type dogs come in and demonstrate what they're able to do with their nose work, which has been terrific. We've also had dogs come in and demonstrate various types of functional work that they can do, like Utopia has come in and they demonstrate how they can herd with, you know, bringing in ducks, fowl, whatever, and showing how they can pull those in together. And that opens the door for great conversation to talk about instinct with particular dogs and how those can work for your family or not work for your family when you're looking to acquire a dog. Also, we've had fun things that are entertaining. You know, the whole dancing with your dogs deal, you know, creates, that's been very wildly popular. This year, we're adding a new demonstration of fly ball to be able to show that. We have some members of Seattle Kennel Club that have been very successful in fly ball, so we'll be having a demonstration there, which is great. And those types of things are really attractive to the public. Barn hunt is another sport that we're not able to do barn hunt this year at Seattle Kennel Club. Fire marshal's regulations with the bales of that we have to have there, of course, when, you know, when they're looking to find the rats in the tubes. But there's been other venues that have been very successful with barn hunt at the show, and that can also be an interesting. I'd encourage other clubs that are able to do that, like if you're working on a fairgrounds rather than a metropolitan building. Those are the types of things that when you augment that with your rally O-rings, you've got your agility ring, you have your meet the breeds, and you've got your breed booths, and we solicit vendors to be able to come and encourage that shopping.
You have amazing, amazing vendors there. That is one of the things I love about the Seattle Kennel Club show, is you have some of the best vendors I have seen, except for maybe Chicago International. You have got the best vendor lineup I've ever seen.
Oh, thank you, Laura. We work hard at, you know, cultivating those and, you know, just finding people throughout the year that we think might be interested and, you know, turning them on to Seattle Kennel Club as a place where they can, you know, reach that kind of gate. And then we also have our show tours, which was one of my early responsibilities when I came to Seattle Kennel Club, to spearhead those, where we have people book ahead and for certain time slots, and we give them a tour of the dog show because they don't know how it works. So we take groups around and take them all over and show them the grooming area and kind of give them a little bit of tips about etiquette, so that those who are getting ready to play the game, that, you know, they don't get interrupted right before they go in. And we teach them how a catalog works and the basic game of elimination with the dog show, and, you know, the overviews of agility and the overviews of Rally-O. And we take them all over the whole facility and give them a tour, and they come out super energized. I mean, the change in people, of maybe that somebody dragged them into this, it's amazing what people come out. They are super turned on by everything that Seattle Kennel Club is doing, and many of them really turn their heads around with their opinion about what dog clubs are and how important we are to the community, or how we can be important to the community.
Right. And so talk to us then about the relationship that you guys have developed with the local media that sort of enables or encourages all of this to be so successful.
Sure. Well, the American Kennel Club has opportunities for any club to reach out to them for information of how to build your media and to build your impact with your community. And we at Seattle Kennel Club have certainly milked that. I've reached out to them a number of times, and I have been very, very happy with the support that I've had from the American Kennel Club. They have never let me down. They have media professionals that are there specifically to help us with stuff that's media-oriented, and they have been nothing short of terrific. If you don't reach out, out to them. If you're looking for media work and you're not reaching out to them, then you're letting go of a terrific resource that's just there for the asking. Secondly, we would not be where we are currently without the help of Randy Green. Randy Green is not a member of Seattle Kennel Club, but he's been a longtime friend of the Seattle Kennel Club. And many of you will know Randy as an award-winning journalist who wrote for the Seattle Times, wrote the pet column for many years, and has won numerous awards for his writings referring to dogs, and wrote our Seattle Kennel Club stories, which has now been picked up by the American Kennel Club. So he's writing stories for them. Randy knows people in all the nooks and crannies of journalism. And
that helps. That helps a lot.
It's huge. It's huge to be able to have someone that has those kinds of connections and know-how to be able to open doors. And Randy's been fantastic. We pay him a nominal fee each year to help us with that. And we pledge to him that he doesn't do it all. You know, we have to have club members like myself work with him diligently to be able to execute what he can roll into motion. But he's fantastic. I'd encourage any club to get hold of Randy Green and, you know, see what he can do for them.
Give me a concrete example. Give me something specific that you guys are working on, say, for this year.
Okay, so this year we have a media budget, and in the media budget as a line item with our show, and with that we go and we purchase radio time. So we purchase on-air segments that come in packages. It's called a media buy with radio. And with that, if you negotiate well with your media buy, then you usually can get an interview with that same radio station with some kind of talk show that they have. So you'll have the opportunity to have something similar to what you and I are doing here that goes on the air. To buy drive time is really worthwhile on radio, and it's a lot less expensive than you might think. It's, of course, very dependent on what your market is, so there's no sense in me quoting numbers here. But, you know, it's worth looking into anybody doing it. You'd be so surprised what kind of a kick you can get off of radio time. It's really worth the buy. We do, of course, that kind of something to stick in front of that is a press release. You need to know how to put together a press release. AKC can help you with that. Randy always helps us with ours as well. That just has the basic overview. You want to have that in the media's hands comfortably 3 months ahead of your show so that they can get it on their calendar. And then also the press release, then you can tap it. Randy can help tap into TV aspects. You know, he knows the people in most markets that are involved in, you know, local television so that you can get your foot in the door. The little local, I mean, you know, from a metropolitan market to another metropolitan market, there's usually, you know, morning or afternoon local talk shows where they talk about various things that are happening, you know, evening magazine, that type of thing. You have to have a story, though. Can't just say, hey, the dog show is on at the fairgrounds this weekend. You have to have something that's new and exciting. So that's always what TV is looking for, is an angle. We affectionately call it the media hook. You know, what is it that's newsworthy about your show? And that's, here again, that's about making what's relevant and newsworthy about your show. Why should anybody come to your show? You know, you have to let them know what's happening and why they should come as the public. And journalists want to make sure that there's something actually new. It can't just be pure promotion, so you have to come up with something. There's lots of new activities that AKC is putting through the pike, which allows us to, you know, tap into. Not every club does everything, but, you know, the Pee-wee, and that's wildly popular. I mean, if you're a listener to this podcast and you haven't seen Pee-wee, man.
You're talking here about Pee-wee handling.
Yes, I am. Right. It can be a game changer at a dog show of how that connects with the community. They love it.
Right. Very adorable for children from, I'm trying to remember, is it 6 to 8? It's for pre-junior handler age.
Pre-junior handler age, where the parent is also present in the ring and helping them when necessary to boost the dog onto the table when necessary, which, of course, adds to the adorableness of it all. And it really encourages these pre-junior handler age to be involved in the sport and just to have that connection with their dog. So in order to have television, you have to have something that's new and relevant. We traditionally reach out to whatever the new breeds are that AKC has been accepting each year. Some of them, I mean, this year we have the Pumi, which is going to photograph fantastically, right?
Ridiculously cute.
Ridiculously cute. And and
the American Hairless.
Yeah, American Hairless. Whatever's new in the year that you can get an entry at your show. Of course, you don't want to feature something on TV and then not have an entry. So that's part of what my job is with media, is to figure out what breeds are new and then to reach out to those parent clubs to find out, do you have anybody exhibiting that, or do I know them at dog shows and find them myself and say, hey, what can you do about building an entry at this show so that we can feature you on TV before the show? course, if there's new sports and things, it's like I was saying, I would love to have Barn Hunt this year. I think Barn Hunt is just catching on like wildfire. Barn Hunt titles can be attached to an American Kennel Club registration on a dog, you know, so the titles stick. So it dovetails perfectly into a show, and it's exciting to watch. And it's various other activities. I mean, you have to have something, you know, National Owner Handler series, something that makes it newsworthy to have the media come, because they won't just come by you saying, we're having a dog show, please come. That's generally not enough. And if you don't set up something otherwise, you can leave yourself to be inappropriately mocked a little bit. So I really want to caution people that they really put the best person you can forward in your club that's going to be able to work gracefully with the media and help keep it real and relevant to the public. That's just super critical. I can't emphasize that enough.
That's great. Just having whoever is in charge, if that's not necessarily the best spokesperson, isn't going to get you where you want to go.
Right, right. It needs to be somebody who has that ease with gift of gab, shall I say, without oversharing, right? You have to have a filter. Let's be honest,
yes.
Right? You got to have a filter.
Absolutely got to have a filter.
And be able to respond on the fly, because some of these journalists are going to ask you the hard questions. And if you're going live, you have to have someone who can really do that, you know, knows what their message is and is going to stay true.
I know you've done some of these. What was the worst question a journalist ever asked you? Give me any ideas. Can you give me one off the top of your head?
Well, of course, the burning one that always comes out, and, you know, I've got to the point where I sort of have something in the can is, you know, well, why should somebody get a purebred dog instead of a rescue? I mean, a rescue needs a home, right?
And your answer is?
My answer is, when you acquire a dog, you also acquire the guidance of the person, the responsible breeder who bred it. And if there is no responsible breeder behind it, then you don't get that value. There's also that every dog needs a home, purebred or not. They all need homes. And if you have a busy life, and if you are the type of person who appreciates expertise, and if you are a researching type of person that really is looking for the best fit for your home and your lifestyle, because your resources or your time is limited, it's much better to be dealing with experts than it is with something that has nothing behind it by definition.
Yeah, that's a great one. And I think, too, one of the things that I always talk about is purebred rescue.
Absolutely.
If a person feels strongly that they want to do that as the way of choosing their dog, I think that's spectacular. And every single parent club has a National Club Rescue. And these are dogs that are purebred that you know enough at least about what the breed and the breed traits are. And you can then have a purebred dog that you're also meeting that need of wanting to do a good thing and find a
right.
dog a home.
And then, of course, I mean, it depends how you want to coin it, but there's also those golden nugget opportunities of building a relationship with a breeder and being patient for when they are ready to retire a show dog, or when a responsible breeder keeps maybe two and runs them on from the same litter and waits until they're 6 months or a year to decide which they keep. And then, you know, the other one's available to a companion home. I mean, those are amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Or a responsible breeder that takes back their dog like they've said they will do, and it doesn't wind up in rescue, but it still needs to be placed in a new companion home.
Absolutely. Another thing that we offer at the Seattle Kennel Club dog shows that I know is really immensely valuable is to have this front table desk where we have people inside and outside of the table that greet people as they come in the door. And we point out where people can go to see their various activities. But we have a welcome packet, or we have what we call a spectator's handbook that we have printed for us that includes the judging program, an overview of how dogs work, list some of our vendors, and that's part of the vendor package. When they sign on with us, they can get space in this takeaway piece that goes home with them, right? So that worked out with the vendors. So anyway, to have someone that'll answer questions just up front for just members of the public, and that's really approachable. I sometimes see these tables and clubs will say, oh, hey, well, we do that. You know, so-and-so sits at that desk and nothing ever happens. Well, where do you put that table? Do you put that table way back deep into your show site, like, you know, near the superintendent where the members of the public can't find that table? I mean, that table needs to be close to where it is. I think it works best when you think of it more as someone who's more like a Walmart greeter. People are walking in out of the parking lot, you know,
yeah.
Say hi.
I talk about Walmart greeters all the time. Yep.
Yeah. So it's, you know, like, you know, greeting people when they come in. And, you know, most of us, I mean, we know each other, dog show folk. If we don't know each other by name, we know, you know, oh, that's Laura's, you know, got the German wire hair pointers, you know, Laura, you know. And but then people who just come in off the street, they have neon on their foreheads. You know, we can all pick them out for the most part. Those are the ones people that we really need to reach out to and welcome them for coming. And gee, if they've got something in their hand and they look like they're kind of staggering around, you know, it's like, can I help you find something? To have those people that are there to greet can make all the difference whether people feel like they just visited our show and had no involvement or that they felt welcomed and received and connected.
Excellent. I love that, Katie. So we're going to wrap up here. Can you give me one favorite suggestion? And this is every guest gets this question. One favorite suggestion, most important thing you can think of to help the sport move forward.
We must connect with the dog-loving public for them to understand and appreciate our mission. For your listeners to think about what their dog clubs, where they're located, what's important, and who the companies and clubs and organizations that are important and influential in their communities, and how you can tap into your community to make the American Kennel Club, our mission, and what goes on relevant. That's how we will be popular with the general public again.
Excellent. Love that. Katie, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate your time.
Oh,
you have been a wonderful, wonderful guest. And I hope to talk to you again at some point about your trips to Africa in search of wild Basenjis. But we'll carry on with that another time.
Okay, that'll be fun. Thanks so much. And many thanks to your podcast listeners for being part of our great community and our wonderful sport. Big hug to everybody out there. We're all in this together.
As always, if you have any questions or input, we'd love to hear from you. The show notes and links to resources on today's topic are available at puredogtalk.com. Drop us a note in the comments or email to laura@puredogtalk.com. Remember, guys, this podcast is for you. So if you want to know something, give me a holler. We'll do a podcast for you. If you wouldn't mind, you could help me out here. Take a couple minutes to visit iTunes and give us a review. This will help share the love with others out there in the sport. This has been Pure Dog Talk with your host, Laura Reeves. We hope you can join us next time as we continue on the journey to success with your purebred dog.